हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो भक्ति सदर्भ अध्याय 1 आदिकाण्ड 5 सुप्रीमेसी ऑफ भक्ति एज द अल्टीमेट पाथ अनुच्छेद 115। ओके सो विदुर ओके देन एंड वृत्ति इन द नेक्स्ट अनुच्छेद Bhakti is elucidated as the Abhideya, characterized as a limb of prema, the confidential essence, a rahasya revealed in the Chatushloki. Right? So bhakti is the Abhideya, so that's the rahasya that's given. So it's an anga of prema, because by bhakti, then you experience prema. And prema is experienced through bhakti. Right? So the goal is prema, because the prema, if we're experiencing prema, means that's the highest happiness Krishna is getting from our service. But it's the service, the abhideya that we're doing in devotion, that is the confidential essence. Right? Because sahajiyas will put it that prema and rolling around on the ground in ecstasy and all that, that's the topmost thing like this. No, the topmost is being always engaged in service to the Lord in pure bhakti. On the platform of being situated in that platform of prema. So that's actually the confidential point. So that's why the sahajas get it wrong, or others think, no, have all this knowledge and everything like that. And that, so the one is detachment from the material and nature and control. That's I am the controller. And the other is that I am the enjoyer. So the piety, doing all these nice things so that I enjoy. Right, both of them, it's about enjoyment and control, but the point is one emphasizes the other. So the karma emphasizes enjoyment and the jnana emphasizes control. Right, because that's why we... Oh, go ahead, please.
Also, Maharaj, you see here, it's bringing out, in the previous anucheda, it brings out how all the problems are because jivas... All the bad things or the problems happen because Jiva misidentifies himself. Bhakti has the same potency. And now it comes to when actually the potency is seen as it is, how far it can take you.
Okay, that's very nice.
So because this kind of question always comes in, if the holy name is so potent, why I'm not able to experience and
right.
So many other things.
Or it's why do bad things happen to good people? Because
yeah.
I'm always a good person, right? And so bad things happen to me is wrong. Yeah.
So the point is, if you just explain bhakti on its own, tell all the glories, like in Harinam Chintamani, wherever the glories of bhakti are mentioned, still there are doubts lingering that why I'm not able to experience this, that. So that's why... Jiva Goswami goes back and forth. The problems are because Jiva's misidentification, misunderstandings, and including karma and jnana within bhakti, and the potency of bhakti on its own is how it is shown here. It follows the same thing in the next adhyaya also about the characteristics of bhakti. But there also then offenses are the ones which will hinder. And what are the different levels, kinds, all this?
Because that goes back to, also that same thing about, the holy name can purify the whole universe, just one name. And then, but that's only a pure name and all of that. But they're making it out as it's up to us, when it's actually, the name is completely pure. It's beyond, just like the soul is beyond. But because the soul has made the mistake of identifying with the body and forgetting Krishna, therefore then all this calamity happens. So it's still Krishna's in that perfect position. His creation is perfect. His running of it is perfect. We're the ones that are making the mistake.
Go
ahead.
And no matter whichever situation we are in, the moment we take the shelter of Krishna and his internal potency, we are right back there, completely protected. That's why then the glory of holy name remains as it is, despite the material world and the ignorance of Jiva in the material world.
Bhakti remains.
Yeah. I mean, despite us.
That's the point. Despite us, it's there. That's the thing, is we want to always put ourselves that we're the controller, that we make it happen. In other words, pure bhakti is because of us, or contaminated, mixed bhakti is because, that's not because of us, but, of course. But it's always about us. It's always inductive rather than deductive. No, it's all these things are there. You just have to take it. It's like a person when they're sick, it's not that the food has any less value or nutrition or benefit, but because you're sick, you don't take advantage of it. Like that.
Yeah, that's how it shifts right now from seeing from Jiva's to from pure Bhakti's perspective. And then again, he goes back and forth with the Kapila Gita coming up.
Wow. So that's but it's point. Also very, very expert in how you're presenting what is the goal. And then, because you're having thinking, feeling, and willing. So you're giving that goal that is there, that what you can gain, what everything, but then it has to be applied, and that's the actual Abhideya, that's the Vasudeva. So then in that, then you have to know what's working there, what is working, what's not working, and everything. So even in the philosophy, the Sambandha Gyan, then you can see you can point out, of course, obvious things that no one's going to have doubts about, that are coming from outside forces, we won't have doubts about. Evil coming from outside, we won't doubt. But then now we get to this Abhideya, then we have to see this, we have to deal with the evil inside. And that evil is simply just forgetting Krishna and identifying with the gross material body. Then it can be reversed. Yeah, very expert how it goes along. So it comes back to that practical. Yeah, because otherwise you want to ask, why is that Abhideya is coming at this point when we were talking about the Prayojana? The glories and everything that are there. But those glories also are their situation, what they can do, and what experience is there. But then you have to apply all those three, the Shankar, Shan, Prajumna, Nadi, Ruda. Very nice. So logical, huh? So nice, natural. Okay, then continue. This practice of bhakti at all times and places is underscored, incorporating verses that outline both affirmation and negative statements. It is shown that the performance of bhakti is emphasized in all scriptures, by all agents, in all places, with all senses, utilizing all objects in all actions, during all religious rites, and with all outcomes, sarvatra sarvada. So that's the fourth shloka of the Chatur Shloki, is at all times, all places, and all circumstances, one should see the Lord up to this, meaning, how he's, spread everywhere as Brahman, his potencies, and then he's as Paramatma, he's the controller of these potencies, but he is Bhagavan, is beyond that, he as an individual. And that in the relationship with him is actually the topmost. So that's the, So then those three become very nicely the position from which then you perform Abhideya to please Krishna. Okay. Anucheda 115. The means is bhakti. Dharmaf projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. In the Bhagavatam alone is presented the process for attaining that highest object, devoid of all material goals and liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam 112, right? This is the last verse, and then he dealt with 111, right? So now he's dealing with 112. Right, because the 111 was the position of Krishna. That means the 111 was establishing that 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 the devotional service is the highest platform, bhakti, service of the Lord, all this is the highest platform, as confirmed in the first verse, you know, by the tatparyalingas, by those 6 points of vimamsa as established by Jaimini. So then that way you can see what is the actual, what is the prameya that's being, you know, what's the actual point that's being established through what praman. So there's in the first birth is mentioned how he is that beginning, he is the end, you know, all those things, what is emphasized, what is glorified and all that. And then, so in the first verse, it's done like that. At the same time, all throughout the Bhagavatam, that's done. And so that establishes, yes, this is there. The bhakti is the highest. And now he's taking to the next point, is that that must be applied. You know, so then now he's taking the second verse. The second verse means, you know, the introduction. In the 10 qualities of a Purana mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.1, it is said that manvantarani sadharma. Manvantaras means sadharma, bhakti, characterized by the dynasty of kings, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.4. Right? So we see is that when we're going through it being a history, it must list all the kings. You know, it goes through and lists the kings and, you know, whatever it's talking about. But it says that the sadharma of those kings, right, that bhakti. So that's why you see is that when it's just mentioning about the different devotees, means these different kings is coming down in the sun and moon dynasties. Then it just said this one had three sons and this son had this many sons, that one that, and this is the son of that, and just keeps going till it meets some king that has some very, outstanding example of devotion. And then it will go into detail and go into their story to whatever degree to bring out that devotion. So you'll see that especially in the fifth, sixth cantos, it's going through these kings and pointing out, you know, all these, you know, nice kings that were managing the universe and how they maintain the Krishna consciousness in that position. Then it gets to Prahlad Maharaj, and then his man, you know, very nicely expanded on his pure devotion. Then we see then it comes up to, you know, Krishna and Balaram. Then it goes into the 10th canto. Then bhakti as the Abhideya is also described in the Chatushloki, the seed of the Bhagavatam. Etavad eva jigyasya tatvam jigyasunatmanaha anvaya vyatire kabhyam yatsyad sarvatra sarvada anvaya. Interesting, the word anvaya is there. The person desired to know the best sadhana and the goal of that sadhana must learn by surrender to guru about this truth, which is determined as the best by obtaining positive results through performance and by lack of results through non-performance, right? So there then you're saying if devotees are thinking, you know, I've been chanting for so long, it's been 30 years or 40 years, whatever, and why I'm not, you know, on the topmost platform, it says then positive results through performance. So they're advancing because of their positive, you know, the positive results are coming through performance, but lack of results that they're looking for is due to lack of performance. You know, so it means that there's those times when we're forgetful of Krishna or we act on the bodily platform. And by performance at all times and all places, like we'll have, okay, in the temple I'm performing, but when I leave the temple, I may not be performing. Or when I'm at home, I may or may not perform. Or when I'm at work, I may or may not, like this. But generally, you know, we're in the temple, we do more, that's more, though there may be times when we're not also. The person desiring the highest truth must experience rasa, which produces bliss through meeting and separation, and continues in all places eternally, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.36. Right? So that means that all things up to this, up to that, you know, the bliss performed through meeting and separation with Bhagavan, no matter what position you're in, wherever you are at all times, places eternally. So when one sees like that, then one has attained that position. So one is always absorbed in Krishna, which is the goal, in loving, you know, in loving devotion. But that's always expressed through Abhideya. You're always rendering service, whatever it is, hearing, chanting, remembering, you know, any of these nine processes. So that's what's going on. So that's the Abhideya. So the Abhideya then means Vasudeva. Prajumna is describing the Abhideya so that we'll have that desire for it, be attracted to it. And having that attraction and having the interest in willing means, you know, by understanding the goal and the relation, you know, the Krishna and that. So then, and the relationship based on a definition by Sankarsana, then wanting to do that, then we act in Abhideya and Vasudeva. So that it's always going to be, these elements are always there on all these levels. So this whole point that, you know, only if the words have the external obvious meaning of higher rasas, then it has that. Otherwise, it's just, you know, some gyan and all that, like the sahajins will take it. But we see here, he's already bringing out this highest position, producing bliss through meeting and separation in just the second verse of Bhagavatam. We haven't even got out of the introduction yet, or the invocation. So that's the point, is that that's all that's meant. But the point is, as was brought out before, Halder Thai was bringing out, is that it's us who are in the way of getting this. It's the natural position of the jiva to be in that position, but we block ourselves from that. And so therefore, then we're not functioning on that platform. So as much as we are, we advance. And when we're not, we're not. So that's why we always keep good association. It's more advanced. Then we become inspired to take advantage of that and try to move forward again and again. So continuing. Previously, the four parts of the secret jnana and vijnana were promised. So then this is jnanam parama guhyam me yad vijnana samanvitam sarahasyam tad angam cha grihana gaditam maya from Bhagavatam. Please understand the most secret knowledge of my form along with realizations of that form, and also understand about prema bhakti and sadhana bhakti, which will be spoken by me. Right, so he's mentioned about that this will be all these secrets of jnana and vijnana were promised, and here he's promising he will speak all these. The first three parts are explained, that's Bhagavatam 2.9.31. So this 36, 35, 34, 33. So in 31, 30, then he's bringing up to how he's going to discuss this. So this is Krishna's discussion with Lord Brahma. Brahma's asked about this. The first three parts are expanded in the first three verses. But rahasyam, secret, means prema, and its part, anga, sadhana. The commentary says, rahasyam bhaktis tarangam sadhanam. Rahasya means bhakti, and taranga means sadhana. Right, the first three parts are explained in the first three verses. That was, please, most secret knowledge of my form, along with the realization of that form, and also understand about prema bhakti and sadhana bhakti, which was spoken by me. Right, so that means bhakti, and then prema bhakti, and then spoken by me means the taranga, means the sadhana, how you'll get there, how to practice it. Later, it is said, Kalena nashta pralaye vaninam veda samgita mayadao brahmane prokta dharmo yasyam tadatmakaha. By the influence of time, the Vedic knowledge was lost at the time of annihilation. Therefore, when the subsequent creation took place, I spoke to Brahma, the Vedic knowledge in which bhakti is the essence. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.3, right? So you see is that the same thing is being at the beginning and end, and also it's being repeated. So that's how you can see that this is an important thing. Thus, according to the Lord, sadhana bhakti is explained in the fourth verse. The point is raised in the verse in order to explain that fourth verse. The person who is inquisitive about the Lord's Atmanaha, truth, tattva jigyasuna, who desires to realize the secret, prema, should inquire this much only, jigyasyam. This means he should learn from the feet of Sri Guru. How will the Guru do this? It will be accomplished by positive rules and negative statements. Anvayena vyatirekena. An example of direct rule is as follows, right? So that all this is brought out about Krishna, you know, as Bhagavan and how he's beyond that and how then through that all the experience of rasa and the bliss through meeting and separation, all that will be, all that is there. So how his form expands is everything, how through is that form he controls everything. But now how he is the person beyond all that, then you can have that experience, the experience rasa, which produces bliss through meeting and separation. So all that now, how to do that, so that tadangam, right? So then how that bhakti can be obtained through sadhana, right? And so, and that sadhana means by hearing from guru and then following what guru says. So this de-emphasizing Prabhupada's position, you know, as the guru, deifying, yes, that emphasizes there, but as the instructions, that taking shelter of the instructions is what's going to take you beyond and all that. And replacing that, then, you know, gradually, and that with just the authority of institutional bureaucracy, then that's not going to bring out, you know, the effect of what Krishna is talking here, which means it's coming from guru. So it means Prabhupada's instructions, that has to be the central feature. It can't be anything else. You can't take other things and think that that's going to bring you to this point of experiencing rasa, you know, which produces bliss through meeting and separation and continues in all places eternally. No, that's not going to come from some other element. It's going to come from the from practice of pure bhakti as given by Srila Prabhupada. Okay, so then an example of direct rules to follow. Pure bhakti to the Supreme Lord, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the real dharma, the supreme object for the human living in this world. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.22. Right, so you see, as Prabhupada was, that first thing is get people to chant. He went out, sat in the park, just chanted. No one's there. There is no one in the movement. There's only him, right? At least in New York, right? So he's sitting there, but he's giving out the holy name, chanting the holy name, beginning with the chanting of the holy name. Then people start to come. Then he engages them in chanting and all that, right? And so that's the real dharma. That's the beginning. And so if you want to put people on the path, you first have to get them involved in the chanting. That's going to be the thing. You know, sometimes devotees would talk about, oh, you have to become vegetarian to become a devotee. No, you first have to chant. You have to be chanting. So even though the person isn't following any of the regulated principles, he starts chanting, you know, by hearing the devotees first time he walks past the park, here's Prabhupada chanting, or here's the devotees chanting, and he becomes interested. He starts to chant. So he goes home, he chants a bit. So he's not, but by time he'll get purified, then he'll take up sadhu sangha, then in that sadhu sangha, then he'll understand bhajana kriya. In other words, that faith in Krishna and chanting, that's coming first. Then through association is coming bhajana kriya, where he'll start following the four regular principles. That's why it says a chandala who takes it up. Then it says, no, but he can't remain a chandala. Why would he? By association, he'll take up the bhajana kriya and then artha nivriti and give up those things that are unfavorable. But it means that his background is from that. He doesn't have the piety that would come to be born in a, you know, a great practicing Brahmin family. He's born in a chandala family, a low class family that doesn't have any interest in the Vedas or its practices. But by chanting the holy name, you know, by the grace of Guru, then he is able to take up the association of the Vaishnavas. In that association, that faith increases until he takes up bhajana kriya, takes initiation and artha nivriti. Then he gives up all those unwanted thoughts and desires and activities in karma and jnana that may have been there from his background. So we see as, so that's the positive. It starts from that, right? So it's always going to start there. So Harinam Sankirtan means it starts with the chanting of the holy names. That's why we going out doing Harinam on the street is actually the best way to commit, connect people. We think, oh, well, we'll do it through charity works, or we'll do it through being nice, or we'll attend meetings, we'll do all these meetings with these inter-religious, what do you call it, doing that, or we'll try to get good press, or, you know, so many other things. No, it's the starting with the holy name. So whatever is going on, the holy name is there. That's the whole thing. That's the point. That's where it starts. Then everything else can develop from there. So when that faith is there, then things progress nicely. So that's why then, you know, again, is that when you have faith, it's the name that's going to make everything going. So if it's not going well, I need to chant more, you know, or be more attentive to my chanting, or, you know, be careful of offenses while chanting, these kind of things. Then I will see, I will get the good results. But it's just that, you know, I've chanted all this, but then, okay, you chant 2 hours a day. What about the other 22 hours? Because Krishna mentions at all times, all places, all situations like that, eternally. So then, you know, you have to work on the other 22 hours. So that you're moving forward is because of those 2 hours, you know, and how much you're engaging the other times. But then how, what's holding us back are the balance time. But the holy name's so powerful, even though it's only 2 hours compared to 22, still you're getting the benefit moving forward. Like that, material energy isn't as powerful as bhakti. Otherwise, if it was, why with 2 hours could it outweigh 22 and you actually progress? But it means that 2 hours is more powerful than 22. Okay. An example of vyatideka, negative statements, is as follows. Each of the four social orders headed by the Brahmins was born through different combinations of the modes of nature. From the face, arms, thighs, and feet of the Supreme Lord in his universal form, along with the ashramas. If any of the members of the four ashramas and four varnas and four ashrams fail to worship the Lord and thus disrespect the Lord, who is the source of their own creation, they will fall down from their ashrama. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.3. Right. So the negative is that all these social orders and that, so you're taking, so in other words, the positive is always remember Krishna, never forget. So you start with a name and then always remembering his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, right? And applying that. And the negative means whatever situation you're in by your, you know, coming from the particular state that you're existing in, the particular body, gross, and subtle that you have, that is expanding from the Lord, means the four social orders and the four ashram are coming from the Lord. And so therefore, if you don't worship the Lord with your position, means you forget the Lord, then they will fall down and all that. You know, so therefore then they become chandalas and all. So chandalas means already forgot. So that kind of point is that, so never forget Krishna means always engage your situation and everything you're in all times, places, and circumstances in Krishna's service. And what are you doing? Always remembering Krishna. So we don't identify with the body, we remember Krishna. And so the two go together. So these two features are always there. So they naturally support each other. You know, yes. But by saying that, that doesn't mean, see, we do throw out varnashram. No, it means whatever your position, you're going to engage the gross and subtle body in Krishna's service and not forget him. Okay, then from Bhagavad Gita, the falsely intelligent, consisting of the foolish humans who think that I am a material being, the fallen humans who absorb themselves in material knowledge, the speculators who come to wrong conclusions about God, and the demons who think that I have no form and qualities do not surrender to me. Bhagavad Gita 7:15. Yavaj, yeah, so means there means these are all the problems that you have. Always forgetting Krishna, so the negatives. So one is they think I'm a material, they think that Krishna's a material being because they identify with the body and Krishna and because they're gods and God like that. Follow who absorb themselves in material knowledge, you're right, the professionals and all that. that's this practical knowledge, the speculators who come to wrong conclusions. That's those who are more theoretical, the academics and the demons who think I have no form and qualities, like that they're in control. They're actually the controller and everything and not Krishna. So they don't surrender. So therefore, understand Krishna's transcendental form. Always absorb yourself in hearing about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna, and engage your activities that you're doing in Krishna's service. Understand the proper understanding about the position of Krishna, and who know that Krishna has all form, all qualities, all everything is there, and he's connected with everything. There's nothing that's not connected with him. So, and see all that on how you can serve Krishna at all times, places, and circumstances. Right? Because otherwise, then you take all these things, you may think that, oh, okay, that's very nice when you're temple, but when I'm out at work, I can't. But this whole thing is again, all that, all the varnas, all the ashramas, everything is coming from Krishna. That means the position of your service, your work that is maintaining you, that's still the potency of that still comes from Krishna. Because you still have to be working in the intellectual arena, the administrative arena, the economic arena, or assisting any one of those three or combination thereof to maintain yourself. That still comes down to that. And so where did that potency come from? Krishna. That means if it comes from Krishna, that means you can see in its connection with and always remember Krishna and engage yourself without forgetting him in his service. So that's also then what it means here, right? Because then you think that there's no form and quality, or these material knowledge is important on its own. No, it all comes from Krishna. So now from Padma Purana, Yavaj Jano Bhajati No Bhuvi Vishnu Bhakti. Parta Shudha Rasam Asesha Rasaika Sharam Nasaram Tavaj Jara Marana Janma Shatab Pighata Dukhani Tani Labate Bahu Deha Jani. If a person on earth does not partake of the essence of unlimited rasa, the sweet rasa of messages of bhakti to Vishnu, he will attain many births of suffering, old age, death, birth, and hundreds of injuries. Padma Purana 585.33. Right? So then, in other words, you have to do this. Bhakti must be performed. And how? Then at all times, all places, and all circumstances. Right? So that comes up the next question the Acharya brings up. Where is this performed? It is performed in all scriptures, by all agents, in all places, by all senses, using all objects, in all actions, in all religious rites, and with all results. Sarvatra sarvada. So that's the meaning there. So now he'll go through and explain that. Okay. Are we over the time? No. Okay. All scriptures is illustrated in Skanda Purana in the discussion between Brahma and Narada. Samsare smin maha ghore janma mrityu samakule pujanam vasudevasya tarakam vadhibhis smritam. In this frightening samsara filled with birth and death, worship of Vasudeva is known as the means of deliverance by the wise. Right? So the wise means they've studied all the scriptures. They know all the things. So they understand, right? The deliverance of frightening samsara means how are you going to get out of samsara? How are you going to get away from that fear of samsara? That's by not identifying with the body, identifying as the soul servant of Krishna, and always remembering Krishna, never forgetting him. So you're always see everything related to the Lord. Right. This is confirmed positively with the following. Right. So that's the point that one has to be careful of. Then here, Bhagavan Brahma Kartsnyena Tir anvikshya manishaya tad adhyavasyat kuto sto ratir atma yato bhavet. The unchanging Brahma reviewed three times the Vedas completely with his intelligence and determined that process which produces premain the self. Unless it means prema in the self or
prema, I think, Mara.
I think it's prema, okay. Prema in the self. Okay, so, and we know only bhakti can do that, so then that's the point. So the others are looking at it from how to get out of samsara by giving up the gross and subtle material identification and taking up the position of the soul, and then taking up remembrance and absorption of Krishna, then which means then, you know, on all times, all places, all circumstances. And so that means bhakti. So he's given that with his intelligence. He comes to that with the anvaya, with that analyzation, and he comes to this point. Then then positive again. Alodhya sarva shastrani vicharya cha punah punaha. Idam ekam shanish pannam yeyo naraya. Narayanasada. Reviewing all scriptures again and again, it is definitely concluded that Narayana should be the object of meditation, Skanda Purana, right? So, Vicharya, from different angles. So that means all the scriptures again and again. You're seeing from all these different angles that they're giving, you know, how the Gita is giving from different angles like that, you know, by the practical, you know, by action, by the understanding, by engaging the knowledge, by surrendering the guru, by all the subtleties within the practice of knowledge and all that. And then the Bhagavatam through the different personalities, how they have all applied themselves to this knowledge and practice, Chaitanya Charitamrita, then all the different angles, you know, in relationship to all the different contemporary philosophies and misunderstandings. So from all these different angles, you're seeing it and concluding that Narayan should be object of meditation. Then you can see, as all of them are mentioning, that it has to be about serving Krishna. That's all there is, right? So that means, that this point of always remembering, never forgetting. That's the, you know, in saying the essence, that's what will bring you out of samsara, because that will establish you in devotional service and bhakti. It is confirmed by negative statements. Param gatopi vedanam sarva shastrarta vedyapi. Yona sarveshvare bhaktas tam vidyat purushadhamam. The person who has studied all the Vedas and other scriptures is the worst of men if he is not a devotee of the Lord. Garuda Purana 1:231.17. Right. So the point is, if you've studied all the Vedas and you don't come to the conclusion that it's about being a devotee of the Lord and performing bhakti, then you're the worst, because then technically you become a Naradama. You know, the worst, you know, the worst of men. So that means the Naradama, which in the Naradama is, who absorbed themselves in material knowledge. So in other words, if they didn't come to bhakti, then they're not engaged in spiritual knowledge. It's a material knowledge. Maybe spiritual meaning in pursuance of moksha, but it's still knowledge of I'm the controller and enjoyer, and knowledge that is from the Mahatattva that I want to, you know, to experience that or express that as sutra. So that's the point, is that you've studied all this and you don't come to that conclusion. Then it's not that, oh yes, by studying all this, then you're a great personality. No, only if you come to the conclusion about bhakti. So that's why if you have somebody who's simple, hasn't even gone to school, but has that conclusion, he's the best. You see, is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, right? Very, you know, established person, successful, you know, you could say in his, you know, family, social, community position. He's a district magistrate, you know, so he has, you know, great authority in the district. So that means over, you know, can be millions of people. He has authority and all that. And he's the best that there is of all the magistrates in India. He's the best. And probably if you check, if you go back to even England, he would be better than anyone there. So he was the best. So, you know, and so he has that, all that knowledge he has. He's writing books. He's doing all the things and all that. So that, and who, you know, he is then, you know, his son then becomes a great scholar, you know, like that. And, you know, it means, you know, Siddhanta Saraswati. He is, you know, a great astronomer. He's the, one of the, he's the king. He's the minister for the king of Tripura as his astronomer and, you know, and takes advice and devotional service and everything like that. And these two persons respect and all that Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who can't even read or write, never went to school. Why? Because he is already on that platform of the conclusion of that it's about understanding the Lord, right? He becomes the devotee of the Lord and surrenders everything to the Lord. And so he always likes to hear and chant and remember the Lord. And so that is the perfection. So that's what's seen as others who are professional and are very knowledgeable and very competent, then they respect that position because that's actually the purpose of all knowledge. That's means sarvada, all knowledge, all actions, all results, anything that you may have, you know, from your engagement in anything at any time, in any place, in any circumstance. If the conclusion is, it's not about pleasing Krishna and being and doing all these things to please Krishna in devotion, then it's a waste of time. It brings you to the lowest of positions. So that's the sad part, is if we shift the from, you know, that this is the perfection to, no, being an academic, being professional, you know, being very progressively moralistic, you know, and talking the progressive talk, that this is actually going to, you know, this is going to save the society and save Krishna consciousness and all that. No, it'll never. It can never, on any day of the week, at any, you know, time of the day, on any you know, continent, you know, in any universe, in any you know, the planetary systems or in any universe, can it do this? Because that's the whole point, is if it doesn't go beyond that, then you're wasting your time. Otherwise, I can say, yeah, this is what I do to maintain myself, but don't take it as it's a glorious thing, because glory is, bhakti is glory, Krishna is glory, the soul is glorious. But these conditioned stages that are just controlled by the modes of nature and controlled by, you know, samsara and all that, only instill fear in the living entity. They don't instill bhakti. That's all.
Also,
yes, please.
Also, it's said later about how that one who is kripana, means crooked, who knows what is the right thing to be done, but still doesn't surrender, Krishna doesn't shower his mercy to them. Mercy is for the innocent, but not to the crooked. Mm. So that also puts Namabhas, Namaparad stages in the place where they are. Namabhas means you're innocent, in the sense ignorant, whatever.
Yes, yes.
But Namaparad means after knowing, still you commit offenses. So that's why the scripture says he is the lowest, because now he knows the glory of holy name, the glory of everything, but still he doesn't want to surrender.
Mm. Yeah.
Then that makes him lower than even the karmis who are, you know.
Yeah. Because if they're innocent, then it's a lower position. If they're not innocent, then, you know, they can all have good association with each other, right? they can each inspire each other.
That's why it said later then that one can give up the offensive position if he wants to. Then after knowing about the offenses, then what are you doing? If you don't want to give up, like, then Krishna's mercy will not reach us. Mercy is for everybody except the crooked ones. That's point, like, is established.
That's interesting. Because it's interesting in the crookedness, then you want to blame it on everybody else. Oh, we can't respect the devotees because they're doing this or they're doing that. Or, you know, we have to be practical. You know, we can't be fanatic and, you know, not address, you know, the material needs that are there, you know, and stuff like that. And so they'll avoid and, you know, the first and the tenth, you know, they'll rationalize, and then then they'll have to reduce what Guru has to say, reduce the glories of the name, you know, and deify, so it's so elevated you can't attain it, you know, and so therefore I'm just practical, this is who I am. So yes, it's, you know,
also then it comes about then what is, how they are, like, no, are they eternally damned? The question was put, and Acharya says that no, they'll go far away from devotional service, and after a long time, then again, it's like refresh. Again, they'll start from where they are. So, it's like, you know.
Okay, so they'll take it up again from where they went down from.
Yes, so that's the reason. It's always said bhakti is, you know, eternal. So no matter, even if they're offensive and all, they may go for, you know, one day or one lifetime of Brahma, go into, you know, the pores of Mahavishnu. Then when they come, it's clear there is nobody to blame to. And when they come again in the new creation, they start from where they were in bhakti.
So that means when we talk about bhakti is not lost except for if there's a great elephant offense, you know, the Vaishnavas. So then it would appear that what you're saying is that when we say it's not lost, means whatever your position is, you can see even in this life, someone gets distracted by devotional service, but if they're not offensive to the devotees, then they get distracted, do this, but you might see them after some years, 10, 20 years, come back and just take up from where they left off. Mm-hmm. Or if you say it's no, but if they commit the first offense and that mad elephant offense, it rips up all the, you know, everything, destroys everything. So it means then they for a long time are not going to be engaged in devotional service. But then it appears that they will come back to where they were before.
Because it's all about bhakti. It's not something cannot take away. It is eternal.
Okay. So when they say it can be destroyed, it just means in practical things for the next who knows how many, you know, tens, hundreds of thousands, millions of lifetimes, you won't be able to access it because it's so severe. Wow. Okay. But then you come back to where you were. Wow.
So that
puts you in even a more powerful position.
Nitya Vadya, Nitya Siddha then makes more sense when you say Nitya Siddha. Once, how much ever you develop, and once you attain perfection, it is, that's it. It's there with you.
Mm-hmm. Then Nitya Bhada is as long as you identify with the gross body and forget Krishna, that'll go on for as long as you want.
Yes. It's true. That's why they are part of the Dashamula Tattva. Prakriti Kavalikam Sadvimuktam Sajiva, that Vimukta Jiva and all Vaishnava Sampradayas talk about these two categories of Jivas. Some may categorize more based on how they want to emphasize, but these two categories are always there. So, it's based on this principle to bring out that uniqueness of bhakti. Once somebody gets in contact with the bhakti and develops, and that to that extent is That point comes, Maharaj, after.
Okay, very nice. That's very, very good. So it just means this, you know, for the a foreseeable future, it's destroyed, but ultimately it's not. Mm-hmm. So you can't say how long you've been at this process, how far you've got. You may see immediately things. Or if someone, you know, does these regression things and they go back to something in a previous life where they were doing something, it doesn't mean that means the last life before this. That could have been, you know, so many lifetimes or even other universes, lifetimes of Brahma before, but that's the important one. It's the string of the devotional ones in which you're practicing bhakti. So then that's what it means, that after many, many births, then one comes to devotional service. So what we say comes to means now that I'm practicing. Before you were practicing, but the point is that brings you to now.
Also, it puts everything in place. Sometimes devotees are bewildered, like when you say somebody is Kripa Siddha, then how can Kripa act? Then there are other scriptures which show how he did his sadhana before. Then they are like peaceful. Okay, nobody
right,
is.
Right. Yeah. But nobody got away without doing the hard work. But I'm doing the work. So they've got to do it also. Yeah.
But the whole point when we are describing even a Kripa Siddha is that bhakti is so potent that nothing is lost. So and anybody who comes in contact, he gets that benefit.
Yeah.
It's all bringing out the glory of bhakti like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like we have to elevate bhakti to a higher position than we're giving it now. But it also sees this bhakti, the Abhideya, because there's been points where it's been mentioned in the philosophy that bhakti is not the goal. Prema is the goal. Right, but at the same time as gaining that prema, that's not actually the ultimate thing. The ultimate thing is then to eternally perform bhakti, is the Abhideya. But it's from that platform of prema, so the two always go together. It's just which is emphasizing that you have to get to that point, or that you always have to be engaged sarvada. You know, everything's always engaged in Krishna service.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it's called Guhya Bhakti, the Prema Rahasya here.
Right.
And then I think in Paramatma Sandarbha it's mentioned about the Guhya knowledge, the secret knowledge is the Prayojana Prema. So it's always connected, as you said.
Yeah, because the point, because someone says bhakti, prema is higher than bhakti. You know, because prema is, because bhakti is the practice to get up to there. But then once you come to prema, now bhakti remains as the expression of that prema.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, through bhakti, it was the sadhana to get to prema. Having attained prema, now bhakti is no longer a sadhana. It's simply the natural expression of your prema.
Mm-hmm.
So there's those two also features, you could say, of bhakti. Is that it will get you there, and it eternally remains. So just like the process is the holy name, the goal is the holy name. Having attained the goal, you still consider, now you still are engaged in Abhideya. It's not you're elevating you to perfection. It's that you're already on the platform of perfection and you continue. Yeah, so it's that. And it's always going to be in a situation, so you don't have to mention that because it's already personal, because the personal is already beyond the other two, you know, that the situation is there and as potencies are controlled. You know how Vasudeva and Balaram, you know, Balaram, the Kriya Shakti, and Vasudeva is the Jnana Shakti, that those are always there, but those are there to support the Icha, which is to please, you know, Krishna through the pure devotion.
Mm.
Oh, matches so nicely, huh? Okay. just interesting. The next starts off. Here are examples of different performers of bhakti, and it starts off with women shudras, hunas, sabaras, and others simply like that. It starts off with them, you know. Yeah, they know the qualities, even the animals. Then they, you know, who hear from the mouth of guru. Then, yeah, nice. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.